Mulele, all the public office bearers who did not attend there, we're going to find them a cow. Mamungwe, ya ubu kona.
Yeah,
what's up with
them?
The car,
Nanjani?
Ah, it's gone,
I
corner, abo mama, you are sitting next to each other, so your device will make noise.
We are going to switch it off, care, don't worry. We are just reading each other.
Put you go to somebody must sit there. Is that so?
Oh. Hello?
Okay.
Somebody.
Is it?
I just want to check with the secretariat if our guests are here so that we can commence with our meeting.
Yes, we can start the meeting.
Can you repeat what you're saying?
Yes, Chair, we can start the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, wonderful. Good morning, honorable members of this committee. I also wish to greet the representative of the South African Post Office. I hope that the Deputy Minister is already here. And I also want to take this opportunity to greet the DM as well as the officials that are in attendance. colleagues, this is a scheduled meeting.
Recording in progress.
And today we will be getting a presentation from the South African Post Office. And then before we go any further, we just have two items on the agenda to consider this presentation by SAPO. And then thereafter, we will look into the minutes, which must be considered by the committee. Those are the only two items that we have on the agenda. then I want to check with the secretariat the apologies that we have. From my side, I have received a written letter from the minister that she will not be in a position to attend due to the fact that she has to attend a cabinet, but she gave me an assurance that the deputy minister will be joining us today. The secretariat, can you make an indication if we have any apologies?
Yes, Chair, an apology of Honorable Nana and Honorable Abikashmi. Thank you.
There is an apology by Honorable Nana and another apology by the Honorable Abistakhni. Those apologies are noted and recorded. If then there are no further apologies, I would like us to commence with this meeting. I take it that the members are fine with the agenda and the agenda is duly adopted as it was circulated in advance. Can I get an indication, Honorable One? Can we proceed? Silence means consent. I want to take this opportunity to invite the delegation to lead us, and then they will also help us with the introduction of others that are in attendance as part of the delegation. Is the DM already here?
Yeah, we're here, Chair.
DM, let's give you the first bite. We always take a posture that the political heads must lead when an entity comes here. And I appreciate the fact that you have come and we had a conversation about some of the concerns that we have. And I'm happy that we have resolved that from now going forward, all those matters will be attended to. I also picked it up that you might have not have been given a proper communication in the past by the PLOs. Mm-hmm. And I will be talking to the Secretariat of the Committee to make sure that at all given times that the PLO actually writes to both the minister and the DM, and we also get a response in writing so that we have a record of what is obtaining. So I'm glad that you are here, DM. I want to give you, Honorable One, an opportunity then to give us a high-level introduction of what we are to receive today. Over to you, Honorable Mapulane.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the honorable members on the platform. I think, Chair, it's in order that we should formally apologize for the last, the previous meeting where the minister and myself were not able to attend. I did explain to you, Chair, that we were in a cabinet committee meeting on that day. But nevertheless, we do apologize. As we've discussed with yourself, Chair, that it's always appreciated and in order that if the minister is not available, the deputy minister should be there when the department or any of its entities are appearing before. We do commit ourselves that we will do that, Chairperson. And if we are not able, we will then engage with yourself prior to that. Chair, we are presenting today the state of affairs of the post office, which presentation has been prepared and shared with all the honorable members. I must say, Chair, that the presentation does indeed paint a very gloomy picture about the state and the future of the South African Post Office. We have been seized with this situation ever since we were brought in deployed in the department by the president last day in August. We have not thought to gloss over the difficulties. We have always been clear as we're interacting with the various stakeholders, including this August House Parliament, that the situation at the post office is dire, that we require an urgent intervention to rescue the South African post office. But of course, we were not sitting on our laurels. We were engaging with the entity itself to reposition itself, to reimagine its future. And indeed, the post office has done exactly that, working with ourselves in the department. They have produced a post office of tomorrow, which we think that it is a workable document, it is an implementable document. But however, without any capital injection, we will not be able to successfully implement the post office of tomorrow and save the organization. So we have made that very clear in a number of platform that the challenges that the post office is facing are accumulated, they are historic. There were missed opportunities, of course, in the past to turn the post office around when there was an allocation from Treasury, I think at around 2018 or so. But these challenges have been accumulating, and we find ourselves in this situation. We have been engaging with National Treasury to rescue the organization, to make sure that we make more allocation from the fiscus. Unfortunately, in the presentation by the minister last week, during the medium-term budget policy statement in the National Assembly, we were unfortunately not allocated anything by Treasury. So it does make the situation to be even worse, even more urgent. We don't know whether we will survive until next year in March, beginning of April, when the new financial allocations will kick in. But we are in constant discussion with the Treasury to find, to see if we can rescue the situation. But we want to be very brutally honest with yourselves, Chairperson, and the rest of the honorable members, that the situation is quite dire. Revenue is declining. Expenditure is constant, as you can see from the presentation, that expenditure far exceeds the revenue of the entity. And it's a situation which is untenable. So I thought I should make those remarks, Chairperson, so that we can just set the scene and the agenda. That the presentation we're about to receive is quite depressing. It's terrible. As I said, it's historic. It has been accumulating, and we now find ourselves in this situation now. I am going to invite, maybe before I invite the CEO, I must say that the term of office of the board came to an end about a week or two back. We have been in the process of getting the final approvals to extend the board. I must say that the approvals have been obtained, and the board's term of office has been extended until the end of January, so as to allow ourselves to institute processes to appoint a substantive board. But they might not be on the platform because I'm sure the administration is busy with communicating with the board members that their term has been extended. So they might not be here, Chairperson, but I can confirm that the term has been extended until we finalize the new appointment. With that said, Chair, can I take this opportunity and hand over to the CEO if she's on the platform?
Thank you, dear. that is granted. Thank you, dear. Cheers.
Good morning to the chair and to the DM and members of the portfolio committee. I have a challenge. I've just shown my face just for a minute. I have a challenge in terms of connectivity. So I would like to, in the meantime, DM, ask that we ask the acting DG to assist while I reconnect immediately so that we can get on with the presentation. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. I don't know who is on the platform from the department. ADG, are you here? Mr. Shalembe, the DDG of Oversight, I think I saw your name on the platform. Mr. Shalembe, can you assist with the presentation in the meantime?
Thank you, DM, and good morning to the chairperson and the honorable members. The presentation, DM, as you have introduced it, presents the current stage and the future of the post office. Can you go to the next slide, Zaitun, please? So the content of the presentation is as follows. It presents the role of the South African Post Office in the economy. And then it goes on to slides 4 to 12, dealing with the situational context, the trends analysis, financial performance, the human resources information, revenue as at 30 September 2022, and the expenses for the same period, the creditors also for the same period, 30 September 2022, and the cash flow position. Slides 13 to 23 then talk about the new strategy of the post office called the Post Office of Tomorrow. And then slide 26 will talk about the staff optimization initiative. And then finally 27 to 28 talks about the remedial action. Next slide, please. So this slide is looking at the role of the post office. It says the provision of postal products and related services to all citizens in South Africa, irrespective of the location, is part of the responsibility of the post office. In fact, it is mandated by law to provide these services irrespective of the location of the person. In other words, all citizens, wherever they are in the country, must be provided with postal services and related services. Also, the role of the post office is to facilitate access to financial services, facilitate the payment of social grants, the management of the national address database, and the allocation of new addresses. It deals with FICA and RICA requirements in terms of proof of address and and residents, and it is also now in the business of distribution of chronic medication. It receives payments on behalf of national and provincial government and is generally the delivery arm of government. Next slide. In terms of the situational context, the South African Post Office was designed to collect and deliver the letter post and provide financial services. But in terms of the market trend, digital communication platforms have effectively substituted the physical letter mail. And digital financial platforms now enable the electronic financial transaction. There has been a market decline in volumes in letter post and financial business segments, driving revenue downwards. Customer demands are evolving with the need for convenience, 24-hour, 7 days a week convenience, and online convenience. The cost of maintaining physical postal network is increasing annually, yet the utilization is declining. Current business model is unable to respond adequately to changing markets. And therefore, the South African Post Office is in some kind of financial distress. Next slide.
Mr. Shilandre, I understand that the CEO is ready to take over. Thank you very much for that assistance. The CEO, can you take over now?
Thank you, Jeff. I was connected with both devices. I'd like to apologize again for not being ready. I had measures of connectivity. I would like to call upon the head of strategy, Mr. Jeff Batai, to take the committee through the presentation, and then we can engage with any questions that are asked. Thank you very much. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, CEO. Our sincerest apologies, committee members. I will request that I keep my camera off. My bandwidth is a little bit low at the moment. If I may just request that I be able to share my screen so that I could then run the presentation from my side, please. BDG just took us through the situational context in terms of where the South African Post Office signed up quickly. I would like to just expand on that a little bit more. In terms of where the current post office is, we are currently a traditional postal operator which is designed to collect and deliver letter post. Letter post necessarily includes a portion of the courier as well. And then also we are designed just to be a provider of financial services. Now, current market trends is obviously the digital communication platforms substituting physical letter mail. And that has also become very evident in the growth of the virtual platforms. Now, especially one of these communication platforms that we are engaging in today, for me to be able to do this presentation from Pretoria and then wherever you are then finding yourselves in. But also these digital platforms are necessarily also driving our financial revenue downwards in terms of the access that one has via mobile phones to access your payment platforms. Now necessarily that then also then drives our physical feet in terms of our branches down. In terms of the customer demand, it's something which the post office has not necessarily been geared to adapt to. Is necessarily it's convenience, it's 24/7 and it's online. We are able to do purchase anything online. We are able to do any financial transaction 24/7. Necessarily, the post office has not taken cognizance of these changing consumer demands. Also, what we have is we have a network of approximately 1,200 retail branches or post office branches nationally. not necessarily excludes our mail or depots and our mail-related infrastructure. Not necessarily the cost of maintaining this network is increasing annually, in some instances exponentially, depending on obviously electricity and the related utilities. But the net effect of all these changes is that our business model has not changed the last few years. And necessarily when we look at our strategies, these are really not taken into consideration the digital changes in the digital landscape or the ecosystem that we are currently finding ourselves in. Where the net effect is that the post office currently finds itself in severe financial distress. Now, what we've then also done is we've looked at our core revenue. You'll note that on the left-hand side, the graph indicates our postal revenue and then our postal volumes. You'll note that there's been a substantial decline in both the volumes and necessarily the revenue, given that the majority of the revenue that the post office still generates is mail-related. Given that those mail volumes are declining, necessarily that puts severe pressure on our revenue lines, where the net effect is that we are finding ourselves in financial distress. What we then also have looked at is we've necessarily looked at the net position over a number of years, and you'll note we've tried to superimpose, or we have superimposed, certain events within the economy, necessarily within the digital landscape, which has necessarily driven our net position down. So the first event or the first change that we saw was during the economic recession during the early 2000s, and then necessarily the smartphone adoption. Now the smartphone adoption, that was in the form of the BlackBerry, where we then started working on BlackBerry Messenger, and then that expanded to all forms of communications, even the emails. Then during 2012-2013, we had the extended period of labor unrest, and together with the absorption of part-time workers in terms of the Employment Act that was amended, we had to absorb part-time workers, which necessarily, given that we had gone into a severe period of labor unrest, from which we actually unfortunately to date have not recovered. You will note that the net position then continued to decline to the period of 2015, where we were placed under business administration. And then there was obviously some intervention during that period, during which period you will note that the net position increased, or net loss position decreased slightly. However, we never broke through the zero loss line. And then again, we went into financial distress with the position going as number four. We started going downwards again. And then during the 2000 to 2021, we had the COVID-19 pandemic, with the mail business not being considered a essential service, and necessarily all mail operators worldwide having to close down, and only the post office branches continuing with the payments of essential grants. But that necessarily, the fact that a lot of the mail was not able to be delivered, that accelerated the digital adoption in terms of getting the message through, getting marketing through. There were obviously the advent of all these digital advertising platforms, which necessarily negatively impacted the position of the post office. What we have done is we have just looked at the past financial performance over the last 7 years. You note that our losses since 2016 have fluctuated between just over a billion at 1.04 billion down to 2.353 billion for the 2021 financial period. You also note that during the periods 2016 to 2019, we did not receive a subsidy for the universal service obligation. That was reinstituted during the 2020 financial year, and then obviously commenced at an amount of 414 million to the 2022 period, where an amount of 484 million was received from the shareholder, which we are immensely grateful. However, as you will note, the revenue lines and the expense lines, the revenue lines have really stabilized, and then not stabilized, they have not really increased. They have really remained around the 3.5 billion to the 4.449 billion. So they really haven't fluctuated much. But necessarily, given that there's also been the increases in terms of the services that we provide, that is of concern, given the volumes would have declined, yet the revenue would have increased per, obviously, service provider in terms of letters delivered. So the position indicates a severe decline in volumes that we have had. During the period of the, what we've also been necessarily looked at is currently our human resources or our employee cost is the biggest cost component currently, where we are sitting with approximately our employee costs at approximately 62% of our total cost that we incur currently. And you'll note that notwithstanding that there's been a substantial decline of approximately 3,899 employees from 2019 to 2022, the post office still currently finds itself in with an unsustainable cost base, of which the employee cost constitutes the largest portion. We have taken certain measures to contain the cost of the employee cost, with acting allowance having been suspended for all positions. But unfortunately, critical vacancies in executive positions have remained. We have considered appointing certain key executives. We've just looked at appointing a executive in the sales position, given our declining revenue lines and the fact that we also need a revenue-based strategy per revenue line, so that we can address and drive these revenue lines to a better sustainable level. We've also then considered the appointment of a group executive in the HR position. Given the large staff component that we have, we are currently sitting at 31st of March of 2022, at a staff component of 14,460 employees. Now, what is of concern, and which is the financial position for September 2022, you will note that the budget, the revenue was at budgeted 2.3 billion rand, and we have come in at an amount of 1.3 billion against a prior year revenue attainment of 1.67 billion rand. So there's been a decline in terms of the revenue generated year on year, and we are substantially below the projected revenue line. In terms of costs, we've come in below the cost line, but you'll note the differential between the total cost incurred to date at 2.6 and 1.3. So there's a big cost differential. We've also then necessarily indicated the non-operating items, which constitute the subsidy risk from the shareholder for the USO obligation. But we are currently sitting, there was a projected net loss of 969 million. We are currently sitting at a net loss for the year to date of 1.1. You'll note in the table on the right hand side, total year to date staff costs is at 1.7 billion rand, with total revenue only being 1.3 billion rand. So the revenue that we are currently generating at the post office is insufficient to even carry the costs of our employees. In terms of the revenue as 30 September, it indicated, you'll note the blue table indicates our total revenue year to date at 1.3 billion rand, of which 53% still constitutes our postal services. And then we have our SASSA revenue at 21% or 273 million. Then we have our financial services, which is the MBL and third party payments and related financial services at 183 million. Unfortunately, our courier and parcel has performed way below target. It's been a strategic revenue line that we have identified in terms of the post office of tomorrow strategy. However, the contribution that we are currently receiving from the courier and parcel remains negligible when considered in our total revenue performance to date. Then obviously there's interest revenue and then a sundry revenue. Now, the sundry revenue that includes post bank transfer costs that we receive as well, and then some sundry items as well. Look at our expenses. Again, the blue column on the right indicates total expenses year to date. 2.6 billion total expenses, of which 65%. So my contention that it was at 61% is incorrect. It's actually at 65%. So we have a total staff cost component of 1.737 billion rand. Then the security expenses of 269 million rand. And that really relates to the CIT and the guarding costs. Now, the guarding costs is currently being looked at. Given the guarding costs, those related obviously to the provision of guarding for the SRD grant payments and necessarily for the SASA grant payments. Our property expenses are at 236 million rand, or 9% year to date. Then what is of concern is the post office currently is in essence is a logistics company. However, our transport expenses only contribute to constitute 2% of our total cost to year to date. And that necessarily relates to the withdrawal of a number of vehicles from suppliers, where we then have had to make do with appointing suppliers who have not been able to supply us with the required vehicles to ensure the delivery standard of 92%, and necessarily which then also impacts on the performance of the post office overall. In terms of IT expenses, again, that is a very low expense at 159 million rand. We would have wanted the higher expenses in terms of that, but given the cost containment measures that we're currently introducing, we are trying to minimize all expenses so that we are able to maximize our cash flow. Then necessarily the bank charges at 2.5%, and that necessarily relates to all bank charges incurred, of which the majority are related to SASA. And then other expenses, 147 million. So you'll note that there's a big discrepancy between the revenue that is being generated currently and necessarily the expense incurred year to date. In terms of our creditors, and this is as at 30th September, we are sitting with a balance of unpaid creditors of 5 billion rand. That is broken up into 2.6 billion rand in terms of statutory. Here we're looking at SARS, the pension fund, UIF contributions and Medical Aid contributions of 2.7 billion rand. We also have an amount of a billion, just over a billion rand to trade creditors. We are sitting with accruals of 646 million. We are sitting with unpaid rentals of 304 million rand. Necessarily, there's a number of branches which have been closed, not due to our request, but necessarily landlords, due to the non-payment of rentals, have opted to close these post offices down, which necessarily impact on our ability to even generate revenue, necessarily impacting all citizens of South Africa, and particularly the individuals in or beneficiaries in rural and far-flung areas. We also have an amount of 150 million in terms of a salary increase that has not yet been paid to employees of 150 million rand. And we are obviously looking at ways and means to either deal with that situation, either requesting the employees to write off that amount or to pay. But at this point in time, given the position that the post office finds itself in, we are having to implement drastic measures in terms of ensuring our continued sustainability, which is currently under threat. Then necessarily there's rental accruals also owing. So if one then necessarily looks at the total amount owing on rental, we're looking at approximately 421 million, which is owed to landlords. And then delivery agents. These are agents that deliver mail on behalf of the post office. We are unable to do so. There's an amount of 9 million outstanding or owing. And then to the municipalities, an amount of 6 million. We have, as far as possible, we do concentrate on being able to pay our municipality bills, specifically in line with the recent spate of switch-offs that have taken place in Tshwane. We cannot afford for our data center to be switched off. In terms of the cash flow position, as we've indicated, our cash flow remains under severe pressure, where our revenue continues to exceed, our expenses continue to exceed our revenues on a monthly basis. And the majority of creditors, and which includes medical aid contributions, pension contributions, and SARS obligations remaining unpaid for periods after 2 years. Our revenue lines, currently, as indicated previously, we saw our revenue when we compare year on year remain very slow and necessary. These are also declining, exacerbated by the lack of funding or the lack of cash flow to invest into tools of trade, modernization and digitalization, which necessarily impacts on the ability to generate income. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle that we are in at the moment. We don't generate income, so our branches are closed, but that then makes the situation worse where we can't generate further income, which then necessarily perpetuates the position that we are finding ourselves in. As indicated previously, critical supplies remain unpaid. Now, we have been promising, or we have indicated that a lot of these creditors would be settled in some way or form based on some form of financial assistance being received by the post office. But with the medium-term budgeting policy on the 26th, it was evident that nothing would be made available to post office, which necessarily will impact the number of court cases that we are currently facing or will face. We have had a number of liquidation applications being submitted against the post office. We have defended against those, and in certain instances, liquidation orders have been granted. Again, as indicated, these accumulated losses are just not sustainable. We do not have the cash to fund these losses. And necessarily, the removal of the post bank has impacted the post office liquidity severely. We received a disclaimer of audit opinion, majority mainly on the going concern, because currently the post office is not a going concern. We have in the interim, during October last year, we started developing what we initially called the Post Office of the Future. It has then changed into the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy, and it was dependent on some level of funding being made available or having been received to implement at least certain of the critical programs, the revenue programs and necessarily modernization and digitalization programs. However, no funding has been made available, so we are currently looking at alternate ways to implement this, but you will understand, given the Treasury regulations in terms of the requirements of having to confirm cash flow, having to confirm budget, and then also being able to make payment within 30 days or within agreed contractual periods, that necessarily places the post office in a bit of a predicament, which necessarily will increase our irregular expenditure, where we will be unable to go out on tenders to renew, to extend certain contracts. Now, what the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy, in essence, is looking at achieving is, you'll note on the right-hand side, we have a diagram, which in the center, we have what we call the Post Office of Tomorrow, which really considers enhanced service delivery by modernizing the business and then also becoming financially sustainable. Now, how will we be able to achieve it? So we need to really look at re-engineering our products and our services. As indicated previously, the post office is not taking cognizance of changing consumer demands, 24/7 online currently. So we need to re-engineer our products and services to take cognizance of these changes in the market. But then also we need to look at contracting services, which can be optimally and profitably delivered through alternative channels. Now here we would speak to the owner-driver scheme that we are looking at, where certain of our drivers would then necessarily create a own company, and they would then contract to the post office for the delivery of mail, parcels and the like, and then look at also the creation of employee-owned companies, where we would look at specifically the property-related expenses, where we could then look at outsourcing that to our employees. To work towards the post office of tomorrow, necessarily we need to enhance the provision of the universal service obligation. And how would we then be able to do that? Is necessary to rebuild our delivery capability and our capacity so that we can position the SA Post Office service provider to other service providers. What we're speaking about here is what we call a logistics integrator. If one takes a drive out on the R21 towards Otambo, you will note all the courier warehousing that has sprung up DSV, DHL, to name a few. These competitors have grown at the cost of the post office, and currently the post office is not in a position to take these competitors head on. So we would then, apologies, my phone is ringing. We would then necessarily look at making our infrastructure viable or look at concluding some form of strategic partnerships with these logistics providers so that we are able to regrow, re-establish our delivery capability and become a provider of logistics services once again, in order that the post office regains its position as a trusted brand, it remains relevant, it moves towards a position of profitability, and then remains a strategic SOE to the implementation of South Africa. Now, the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy has identified a number of strategic pillars. You will note that we have identified logistics as a key component of the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy, which then necessarily will speak to the growth in e-commerce throughout the world and necessarily the logistics capabilities that are required to cater for the change in the delivery patterns as we have seen over the last few years. Again, also is the growth of the e-commerce capability that we will be working towards by the creation of an e-mall, which would then necessarily feed back into becoming a logistics center and a logistics partnerships by creating and re-establishing our capability. We also have identified the re-establishment of the trust center, or really the authentication authority. Currently, the South African Post Office is the only legislated authentication authority within South Africa to provide digital services or digital authentication services. We have established a trust center a number of years ago. However, the capability, due to lack of investment and lack of focus, has fallen into some form of despair, or if I can call it that. So we will be re-looking at re-establishing that authentication capability, but then also in terms of re-establishing or building on what we call our digital business hubs. These are looking at serving the digital hubs for communities, and there we were looking at providing copying, printing, faxing, scanning. We're looking at providing broadband digital access. We would be looking at creating email for life. We would then also be looking at as becoming a access point for government services. Now, to be able to do this, these five strategic revenue pillars that have been identified, these are underlain by strategic enablers. Necessarily, that would be to rebuild our capacity and our capability, which currently could be improved, given that we are unable to attain the delivery standards that are required from ICASA and in terms of satisfying the consumer needs. At the same time, to be able to rebuild this capacity and the capability, we need to consider modernization and the digitalization of our organization. Now, if one then necessarily looks at that, we've got a data center which is located at Seventh Church. The data center is in dire need of either upgrading or relocation because the infrastructure that we have there is not of the required standard, and necessarily putting the operations of not only the post office but that of Post Bank at risk. That also at the same time is we need to upgrade our points of sale. These are the hardware that the branch staff use. Our operating systems are still running on Windows XP. But then also our software, our point of sale software, we need to look at upgrading. So the level of modernization and digitalization that is required throughout the post office is vast. We have commenced with the modernization and digitalization projects for implementation. However, again, as indicated, the new requirements are the requirements from Treasury to be able to publish RFPs. That kind of places us at risk, given that we are unable to confirm cash flow, budget we can confirm, but necessarily also that we will be able to make payments in these days. So what we have then obviously identified to assist us with the implementation of the post office, which is a strong and key component to the strategy, is necessarily concluding strategic partnerships with strategic partners, which will necessarily be of a revenue generating, on a revenue generating basis, technology basis, a training basis. In terms of that, we submitted an application to the Small Enterprise Summit Finance Agency for the funding of the Owner Driver Scheme. So necessarily there we would be looking at concluding a strategic partnership. There are other strategic partnerships which we are currently considering as well in terms of a large international e-commerce player that we are considering or that we have requested to partner with. We are in ongoing discussions, and should that be able to come through, that will have an impact on the revenue lines of the post office. Necessarily, we are unable to implement the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy without buying systems of the South African Post Office employees represented through organized labor. Maybe we then necessarily looking at equipping by upskilling, cross-skilling, skilling employees into the skills that are required for the implementation of the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy. In terms of our strategy roadmap, the strategy is premised on a number of years. You'll note that we are looking at, you'll note that currently, you'll note on the left-hand side is we are finding ourselves in financial distress. We will be moving towards business stabilization during this financial year, towards business modernization during the next financial year, then during the 24-25 financial period of business optimization. Now, given that the implementation of the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy remains challenged in view of lack of funding, as the strategy was compiled and presented on the basis that a level of funding would be made available to at least implement the critical modernization and digitalization projects that we are required to implement to drive through so that we are able to implement the strategy. Given the lack of funding that we are currently finding ourselves in, again, these milestones that we've identified will be delayed. In terms of our strategic advantage, as indicated, we have branches in the order of approximately 1,200 branches. Unfortunately, these branches fluctuate on a daily basis, given certain of the landlords decide to close down the post office, to close the post office, and they necessarily need to amend the number of post offices we have. In certain instances, we are able to negotiate with the landlord, and then necessarily they reopen. Some form of minimal payment is permitted. But given that we still have approximately 1,200 branches, that we consider as our strategic advantage. Necessarily, we also deliver to 12 million households nationally, and we are the custodian of the national address database. The SASSA cash pay points, initially it was at 160,000. These have decreased substantially to 90,000. Now, obviously, the SASSA contract has been seeded through Postbank, so we assisting the post bank with the payments at the post office branches and necessarily also the payments at the cash pay points. In terms of the parcel volumes, we are looking at approximately 800,000 parcels still being processed through the post office network. And then necessarily in terms of the BDM or the Broadcasting Digital Migration Project, where we were assisting with the registration and the distribution of the decoders. We were then using 22 of our warehouses or 20,000 square meters to warehouse the stock distribution purposes. In terms of payments that we receive across our counter, we received approximately 6 billion on behalf of third parties, which was then paid over to the third parties on whose behalf we collect. And that would include national government, provincial government, that would be MDL, all government-related services, and necessarily we have some third-party private companies that we'd still be collecting for as well. In terms of where we see the post office going, is necessarily we are seeing the post office transitioning into a service platform, leveraging off our postal network, as indicated in the previous slide. We still consider that a strategic advantage, which we then will be able to unify into the service platform. Now you'll note we are then, in terms of the cash processing services, we've indicated an amount of 20 billion, and that necessarily includes the SASA amounts that are paid by the post office branches, and necessarily the cash pay points. But then we would then act as a facilitator, as a connector between government, citizens, and the business, where we would then have to re-establish, grow, and modernize our post office service platforms into an omni-channel channel facility, which we will speak to a little bit later. Critical to the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy is the relaunching of the logistics business, where we would then act as an e-commerce retailer, but then also provide services to express services, courier services, and freight services to all business segments and citizens of America, where we then obviously make available our delivery services and our freight services to the e-commerce retailers and small business sector, and then necessarily to all customer segments and the courier operators in terms of making available what we call our infrastructure as a service. So necessarily, we would then be looking at making our warehouses available to the e-commerce retailer, the small business sector, where we then would have the capability to forward and to clear, our clearing our forwarding capabilities and worldwide shipping. So the relaunching of the logistics business is progressing. However, as indicated, our logistics fleet is really curtailed at this point in time due to cash flow constraints that we are finding ourselves in. But as indicated, we are currently in negotiations with a large logistics e-commerce retailer for a partnership in South Africa. Again, we spoke about the trust center. We were looking at re-establishing the trust center, which then creates a digital environment where the interaction between transacting parties is secure. So where we would then be looking at the creation of secure digital certificates, one of our key avenues that we're looking at is necessarily speaking to our shareholder and government for the uptake of secure digital certificates so that we can ensure that whether you are speaking to and whatever document you are signing is a certified, authenticated transaction. But also what we would be working towards is necessarily the establishment of a digital commission of oaths, and that is work in progress at the moment. But again, the Post Office Trust Center business cases have been completed. We are out on RFP at this point in time. For a service provider, we have considered some form of revenue share, profit share in terms of this, given the level of capital investment that is required to get the program on the ground. In terms of establishing a digital business hub, as indicated, we would be looking, or we will currently are providing printing, copying, binding facilities, but we want to expand that. The services that we have is not optimal, and again, we need to look at ways and means of concluding the necessary agreements to expand on the printing, copying, binding facilities that are available in other stationary services that we are looking at providing. And necessarily, we also will be looking at creating the internet services by providing access to individuals in areas where they could then look at our network for accessing the broadband, but then also web browsing facilities where we would be looking at re-establishing our business centers, then obviously email for life, and then the e-registered mail, and then also providing access to the government portals so that the SA Post Office really becomes the community center and the access point for government small areas of South Africa, particularly in rural and underserved areas. We spoke a little bit earlier on in terms of where we would then be making available the post office infrastructure as a service, where we would then necessarily make available our first mile or last mile and then the intermediary services available, either through freight services, warehousing, express services, courier services, or even where companies use our post office to display products and services. The policy has been approved and we are seeking and are currently in negotiations with companies to make use of our infrastructure service capability. In terms of the postal payment internal services modernization, we are necessarily looking at moving from a registered letter to a digital postal service, which then necessarily speaks to our e-registered letters, where then that would be considered a domicilium sitandi and executandi for delivery of registered mail. Also necessarily, we would be currently expanding our virtual post office, where then necessarily the payments for services, such as your post box, can be made. And necessarily, your need to go into a physical post office to make such payments is removed. In terms of payment channel services, other than just being having the branches, we are currently in the process of enhancing our, what we call our SAPO in my pocket. The payment for stamps or the acquisition for stamps, the access to government services, ability to track your parcel, ability to shop, which then speaks to our key commerce platform that we are in the process of establishing, the MVL, which is the MVL, the online MVL functionality that we launched in January. And that is functioning well, but also then being able to access that functionality via the software in my pocket, and then necessarily any third-party payments that can be made. Necessarily to be able to facilitate these payment channel services, the SAPO Trust Center would come as a securing the authentication of the users, which will then enable the growth and the implementation of the SAPO in my pocket. In terms of the personal network modernization, so that we can then speak to the capability and the capacity that we are wanting to re-establish or to establish, is we are currently looking at the personal network optimization, and that's really re-looking at our branches, our delivery depots, our mail centers, optimizing those, looking at where we can either consolidate or merge with close outlying or near-lying post offices, so that the cost for maintaining the physical network control. Necessarily, the mail automation, we need to relook at how we will do the mail automation, given that our machines that we are currently using are fairly old, and then necessarily the sourcing of spare parts when these do break down is problematic. So in terms of the mail automation, that is a program that we are currently working on, but necessarily there will be capital investment required for that. In terms of the digital mail software, we are also working on that. Necessarily that's the e-registered mail and the like, and hybrid mail, where we then receive an electronic instruction, we print that out, and then we deliver on behalf of the instructing party. Again, also is the modernization of the postal code and national address database. We are currently running out of postal codes. And then also the national address database, using that effectively, and necessarily where we are able to, with due consideration of the POPI Act, to make that available for revenue purposes. Also critical to reestablishing that capability and that capacity is to modernize our logistics services. Now, given that we've got a reduced logistics fleet currently, the route optimization is critical, that we need to get the necessary software and the necessary capability and the ability through acquisition or through partnerships that can optimize these routes and ensure that we can deliver on time. necessarily where we would then be looking at reestablishing the logistics capability. Our warehousing network is also in need of upgrade, and necessarily this will be looked at either funded by the post office or via some form of partnerships, where we would then make available our network to ensure that our logistics services are modernized. Then also in terms of the digital logistics software, that's necessarily where the proof of delivery, where you have your handheld devices. We currently need to implement those as well. Again, we do not have the capability at this point in time. But then also in terms of our parcel processing, parcel delivery, where we could look at alternate ways of delivery in terms of parcel lockers that are currently implemented by partners. So we would necessarily get that parcel processing capability. Together, the optimized mail services and the optimized courier and logistics services would establish an efficient and effective last mile productivity standard. Currently, we are monitoring. We have implemented that in terms of the Post Office Tomorrow strategy. We have only previously been monitoring the mail delivery standard, but we have now, in terms of the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy as a KPI, we have started monitoring the delivery standard on international and domestic parcels. We have set a target of 92% for the financial year, and we are currently monitoring that. There have been some systems and processes that we've needed to implement, given that was not tracked previously. But we are currently tracking those, given growth reliance that we place on the logistics service. Together with that, obviously, we will be looking at enhancing our customer experience in order to become reliable, convenient, accessible, and then necessarily affordable. If we look at the business modernization, and that necessarily speaks to our modernization and our digitalization capabilities, which are required through a physical and a cyber-physical, if I can call it that, capability. Necessarily, we need to look at our data mining platform, our data warehousing capabilities, so that we can facilitate communication between a sender and a receiver, where we then can generate business intelligence. Currently, the platforms that we have need to be upgraded, need to be modernized, and need to be digitalized, and then necessarily need to speak to each other, because we have a fragmented system where we are unable in certain instances to draw one information sheet from various systems. We are required to go into various systems and then compile from the various systems. So nationalism necessarily, that speaks to the omnichannel platform that we are in the process of implementing, that we are currently, we have finalized a business case and an RFP. For that, we have been working on it for some time, but due to certain challenges in terms of providers that were identified, there have been delays on that, but we are working towards where we can integrate the omnichannel platforms experience. So that would be a physical, a cyber-physical, where we could provide a number of services, obviously the retail service, commerce service, verification services, vendor registration, but then that has to be complemented, that cyber-physical, if I can call it that, capability has to be strengthened with a physical component. Currently, our post offices, many of the committee members and attendees can attest, are in dire state of upgrading, with the post office currently having approximately 3 looks that we have had, and which have not been upgraded for some time. So we have been working on what we call the smart post office, and you will note that is our artist's impression of what we view that. But again, you'll note in the center, we consider the post office as an extension of government and necessarily a delivery capacity and a capability for government, necessarily then also moving, attempting to move the load on counters towards self-service kiosks, as you note on the left-hand side. But then also on the right-hand side, you'll note that we've got floor-to-ceiling counter screens, given the number of burglaries and incidents that we have experienced at the post office, given and since the advent of payment of the social grants. In terms of strengthening the financial position currently, Medipos, you will be well aware of the matters that have relating to the payment or the non-payment of Medicare Act contributions. The post office to date has made all payments for the financial year 22-23 to Medipos. There is, however, still an outstanding legacy amount or historical debt that we need to settle. And we are currently engaging with Medipos to explore options to reduce this historical debt. The benefits for members were suspended for a few days, but at present, members are still covered in terms of the Medipos Medical Aid. In terms of the PRMA, Post-Retirement Medical Aid, there were a number of beneficiaries or employees at the post office received post-retirement medical aid, but it's a substantial burden on the post office. It amounts to approximately 10 million rand per month, or 120 million. And we are currently exploring feasible options to reduce the liability, where we have engaged with a supplier to verify the DHA or the beneficiaries on the Department of Home Affairs, but then also to contact beneficiaries to consider ways that we can either buy the beneficiary liability out and determine who are in fact hostile beneficiaries in terms of the scheme that we are currently looking at. Currently there's a liability due to SARS, as we discussed previously. There's a liability of approximately just under a billion rand. We are currently in discussions to resolve and to settle on some form of terms to resolve the historical debt owed to SARS. We reached a short-term payment agreement where we then agreed that on a monthly basis all SARS payments will be made, and that has continued, so that the historical debt component will increase. The government business, in terms of when we spoke about the digital, the authentication authority, digital signatures for that matter, critical to the post office's the ability to source business from government. And this is not necessarily just related to authentication services, but this is also related to necessarily courier and parcel. There are a number of courier and parcel service providers which service government at all levels, notwithstanding that there is a exclusivity on the delivery of one kilogram parcels and below having been given through to the post office. So we would necessarily be looking towards government to support one of its own so that we can generate additional revenue stream. In terms of cost management actively, as indicated, we have not given any increases for some time now. There's a salary debt of approximately 150 million owed to employees. And also we are not paying acting allowances. But then again, also procurement has been restricted to essential and emergency acquisitions only. Given the procurement requirements in terms of the Treasury regulations, necessarily our cash flow position, which is not supportive of in going into any form of procurement other than being essential and emergency. In terms of staff optimization, necessarily we have gone through a staff verification process to determine that all the staff on our current, on our book and on our employee role are verified as working for the post office. So we have done internal, external, and via the Department of Home Affairs. That process is ongoing and is still ongoing in the process of finalization. But then necessarily optimizing staff costs. We have gone through certain programs where we have announced VSPs, but also where we can, there's obviously appointments that we have not gone through. There's been a moratorium on appointments. And again, optimizing staff costs by not paying acting allowance and then not necessarily not filling certain positions they become vacant. In terms of GAN, also looking at strengthening the financial position. My apologies for the crick in my throat. GAN's strategic partnerships is a key enabler to the Persoft of Tomorrow strategy, and we are currently exploring mutually beneficial strategic partnerships, either on a revenue, technology, training, property development basis, so that the necessary revenue and the necessary skills are able to be extracted from these partnerships. In terms of international business, necessarily we are working towards the UPU partnership for the e-commerce hub in Africa. And, again, that is also dependent on the logistics capabilities, which we need to rebuild and regrow our e-commerce capabilities, but necessarily also through the working together with the UPU, of which we are a member. In terms of postal network rebalancing, again, we are speaking to the consideration of points of presence, as we like to call those, where we are, and do these serve the need that they require? And if not, how will we maintain the current service levels there? How can we optimize the cost that we are currently incurring? Again, we are speaking to the infrastructure as a service. We spoke about this earlier on. The optimizing of processing centers, optimizing the transport network and fleet, and then necessarily optimizing our post office branch network. In terms of operational efficiency programs, there's a key focus improving service delivery performance, which would then address carryovers, which necessarily these need to be reduced so that we can maintain our service. We have also established a communication committee, which meets on 3 times a week to consider matters which are of value and need to be communicated through to employees, and in communication to employees is ongoing. GAN strategy communication, GAN strategy post office tomorrow strategy communication to staff is ongoing and has been presented at various levels through staff, NCC, or what we call the National Contact Center, where we have then done presentations. We have done presentations through the organized labor, and we continue to consult with organized labor given our current financial position, which will require action to ensure the continued existence of the post office. In terms of staff optimization, we are currently finalizing the redesigning of the operating model of the post office. We spoke about VSP, and again, that relates back to the decline in employees, where necessarily the decline has also been due to natural attrition, due to obviously resignation and the like. But we implemented a phase one VSP where we had 668 employees which left the employer of the post office with a payback period of 7 to 8 months. We activated a phase two where we then received 417 employees. However, the payback period being 7 to 8 months, however, that is pending. Given the fact that funding is required for the implementation of the PSP, then we also went further activated a phase three. Phase two and phase three have subsequently been withdrawn, given that we do not have any funding at this point in time to further proceed with a voluntary severance package. So we have informed employees that the VSPs are not proceeding. Well, we spoke about the insourcing or the employee-owned companies. We spoke specifically to the property maintenance. And there we have identified approximately 1,133 opportunities for employee-owned companies, looking at garden services, pest control, basic electrical, plumbing, aircon, general maintenance, and carpentry. We are also in the process of identifying additional opportunities for employees. As and when these become available, we will communicate those through to the employees. We announced an owner driver scheme, and we spoke to that a little bit earlier on, where we submitted an application for funding. The funding application that we submitted to CIFA was in the order of 26.3 million rand. We have received 243 applications for the owner driver scheme. And then necessarily the post office is in the process of, subject to the approval of funding by CIFA, we then necessarily assist these owner drivers in sourcing vehicles and implementing the necessary skills to be able to run owner driver company. In terms of current remedial actions that we need to consider for the post office, unfortunately, I must state that this presentation was sent through to the DCDP prior to the announcement of the interim policy statement. So, but again, critical to the remedial action for our current financial position is the funding for the implementation of critical post office of tomorrow initiatives. We indicated executive appointments to be made in terms of CFO, COO, CIO need to be made. As indicated, we appointed the group executive sales and also recently we appointed the group executive human resources. But we might have to place the appointments for the CFO, the COO, and the CIO on hold, given our current financial position, as we are finding it very difficult to continue operating. Again, the strategic partnership framework is in process. We are also in negotiation or discussions with DTAC to assist us with the partnership framework, and we have received some documents in terms for our consideration. They have been looking at our value proposition in terms of what we could offer in terms of strategic partnerships. We are waiting finalization of the strategic partnership framework, and they will assist us necessarily for the sourcing of required funding where they are able to. In terms of our revenue strategies, again, we are speaking to the e-registered mail. That's obviously the capability which then replaces the registered mail revenue stream. But focus strategies on the e-registered mail, the hybrid mail, where we then necessarily print out, we receive an instruction, we deliver. But then also the couriers and parcel, where we are looking at logistics partnerships, and if need be, or where required, the establishment of special purpose vehicles, the implementation of logistics partnerships. The growth of the motor vehicle license, that is also a big revenue spinner. It's been our cash cow for the number of years. However, and it's still growing. It's not growing at the rate that it is that we would want to, due to certain players having entered the market. But again, we have countered that by the launching of the MVL and then necessarily the implementation of the ARTA Act, and the requirements in terms of the e-registered mail or registered mail requirements. Again, the growth in the third-party payments, and again, that is related to the payments that we receive on behalf of third party, but a concerted effort needs to be made towards the growth in that. But that will then necessarily also be dependent on our modernization and digitalization of our capabilities. Again, there is a focused strategy of money transfers, again, that we need to are working on at the moment. We'll be looking at mobile money, which would then necessarily replace the requirement for cash requirements in the branches, which would then reduce the requirement or the incidence of burglaries and holdups, but then also the reduce the costing for society related. We are also looking at establishing a collaboration between Southern African postal operators for money transfers. We are working on that. Necessarily on the airtime data and vouchers, we need to consider and we need to re-establish and grow that capability. In terms of the property that we spoke about letting, developing, selling and co-development. There was a tender that went out some time ago, beginning of the year, in terms of co-development and letting opportunities. We have received submissions, and then necessarily in terms of the selling, there's a list of properties that have been identified for selling purposes. And that needs to be pushed through so that we will be able to generate some revenue from it. In terms of the infrastructure as a service, again, that speaks to our strategic partnerships and necessarily also sourcing clients who will then use our capabilities, either first mile, last mile, or the processing capability, but also a focus on that. The growth of the trust center, or the re-establishment of the trust center in line with our strategy today, because that necessarily speaks to one of our subsidiaries, which is DocX. Now, DocX is obviously in the business of delivery of confidential information, and they are working towards a eDocX solution, which necessarily speaks to our trust center capabilities as well. We spoke about the digital business hubs being able to perform and to provide the needs of communities, specifically in rural and underserved areas, but then necessarily just in terms of being able to provide email for life, which would address some of the requirements that are placed on our shareholder, but then also the e-registered mail. In terms of remedial action, there will be some exemption required from the National Treasury Regulations, as we are expected to compete in a market dominated by private competitors where we have to comply with the PFMA. Now, in terms of that, the GTAC will assist us with an application to National Treasury for exemption of certain of these regulations. Not necessarily, we do not deny that we need to comply with that, but necessarily that influences or certain of the National Treasury regulations impact our speed to market. And often when we are ready to go to market, the gap, the opportunity that we have identified has been filled or has been pirated by a private operator. In terms of the PRMA, we are continuing to determine feasible options to reduce that liability, be improving service delivery, and necessarily the focus thereon via the establishment of the quality circles. The continuation of the restricted procurement in terms of essential only emergency applications. The reduction in CIT costs, which then speaks to our mobile money, and then also necessarily speaks to the moving of the cash pay points through to the post bank. Again, we are reconsidering the reduction in guarding costs where feasible. And then also reducing the costs or increasing income of all non-profitable outlets per region, rationalizing the cost of high-cost outlets, initiative on renting out vacant space, a lot of branches or areas or points of presence where we have additional space that we do not utilize, and necessarily we need to look at maximizing revenue that can be generated with that.
Gert?
Yes.
I just want to check how many slides are you left with.
This is a lot.
I provided our 2 hours for you maximum.
It's 12 hours.
This is the last slide, Chair.
All right. Okay. Carry on. Thank you.
To ensure that we are able to implement what we are required to implement and necessarily implement the cost reduction initiatives and the strengthening of the balance sheet initiatives, we are continuing consulting with Miles Labor. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, DM, I just want to check with you if you would want maybe to make a summation on that presentation, or if the CEO or the acting DG would want to make a summation. I still have about 4 minutes for you.
I think, Chair, we find, Chair, that is the presentation. I think we have elaborated much more. I think nothing to add. From our side, we're ready for questions.
No, thank you. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable members, that's the presentation. I felt that given the state of affairs in the South African Post Office, we needed to give them time so that they can go through and pay attention to detail on all the issues that they need to lift for our attention and consideration. I think now I give it to you, honorable members. Here is the presentation that was laborious, and I want now to recognize hands of people who want to raise questions, questions of clarity, or make comments, and then we take it from there. Thank you for the presentation. I'm looking in the platform. I have the hand of the Honorable Arnold, the Honorable BB. Those are the only two hands that I have. In that order, Honorable ones, Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the Deputy Minister and then all the officials present and also the members that is present. Chairperson, the post office is in a dire state, and as a committee, we are concerned when there is irregular expenditure in the midst of financial distress. Now, Chairperson, I think it is important for the post office going forward that we can get also progress in terms of the establishment of the financial misconduct committee with regards to consequence management and then also due to the work done by the committee, so that we can see what the progress is, and then also in terms of consequence management, because we are equally concerned about irregular expenditure by the post office. Then, Chairperson, we are also concerned when the audit outcomes of the post office in terms of the findings of the Auditor General when it comes to inadequate status of accounting records, lack of sufficient appropriate information, and then also the ability of the post office when it comes to the accuracy of cash flows and liabilities. So I think if that outcome is not good at all, what have they done in terms of preventing such outcomes? Chairperson. Then, Chairperson, in terms of staff verification, which we heard it's ongoing, can we get a sense, Chairperson, because I know there was previously reference made to ghost workers, if there were any. We see there is a reduction in the staff of 3,899. So we just want to check if there were any ghost workers that work for the post office, and if so, can we get maybe details of those workers, how many, and what is the outcome, and then also the follow-up in terms of those processes. Then, Chairperson, the closure of branches of the post office. We want to check now in terms of who is going to take a responsibility for those branches that was closed, and then criminals seized vehicle licensing equipment and they used it fraudulently to issue out vehicle license disc. If we can get a sense of who is responsible and who will take accountability for that, because we can't continue on a basis where equipment of the post office is not accounted for. Then, Chairperson, I think, yeah, we are equally concerned when the post office missed the key deadline in terms of the presenting the annual report and all those issues, Chairperson, I think the post office must be vigilant in terms of the process going forward. I think that is it for now, Chairperson. Thanks.
thank you, Honorable Arnold, and we will now give the opportunity to Honorable Bibi. Honorable Bibi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you to the DM and also for the chairs of Staffers and also for the Chairperson. I have a few questions. My first question would be, how much financial support is that the Staffer needs in order to operate and profit? And whether this financial support can only come from government? Staffers balance sheet seems to be very weak. My second question, Chairperson, is the 4.5 million outstanding employee medical aid contributions being paid as the court order? Thank you, Chairperson. Those are my two questions.
Honorable Bibi, are you done?
Yes, I'm done, Chairperson.
I could hear you, but it was quite very faint. I hope that the presenters have heard you clearly. Perhaps if they didn't, they would have made an indication. Let's give the thank you, Honorable Bibi. Let's give an opportunity to Honorable Wanya. Honorable Wanya.
Yes, you can hear me. Yes, Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you, Honorable Wanya.
Okay, thanks very much, Chair. And thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I wanted to check that as post office consult with the several stakeholders, which includes the Unity shareholders. Chair, the Department of Communication and Digital Technology, employees, management, and recognized labor unions to obtain full stakeholders support for the new post office to start off tomorrow strategy. Chairperson, I would like to extend on what extent has the post office improved customer loyalty in order to drive revenue growth. I want to check that you have campaign aim at and address difference of a device delivery standards. If yes, when did those campaigns take place? My third question, Chairperson, in light of the financial and service delivery challenges faced by the post office, of what extent will your challenges affect the successful implementation of your corporate plan and goals of your strategy of Vision 2030? The last but not least, post office branches in Gauteng were designated as drop-off points for donation to flood victims in KwaZulu-Natal. How did the post office assist the flood victim? That's my question, Chair. In KwaZulu-Natal, which donated food from the Good Samaritan. Can we get the report on the involvement of the post office on this important matter? Niyabonga, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Wenya, for that list of questions. Is there someone who wants to say something? Okay. Deputy Minister, I want to take this opportunity to appreciate the presentation. Can you please ask the official who comes from the Select Committee Secretariat to switch off that microphone, the host in particular. Please, you can't afford to disturb a meeting and yet you are a host. DM, Honorable One.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Nyambi.
We have Honorable Nzube that is raising his hand. Unfortunately, his budget doesn't have that function.
Oh.
It's not a person that is disruptive. It's an honorable member has got some questions.
Okay, no. It was actually a disruptive element. I can see Honorable Nyambi and Zube here. Honorable Zube.
Can you hear me, Chairperson?
I can hear you. There is no way that you could be carrying a gadget that is primitive. You are a young person, and I think you should be leading from the front in terms of the fourth industrial revolution. You must be carrying quite a very latest gadget.
No, I will certainly do so, Chair.
Yeah, can
do
you
I have
see
the platform, Chair?
Can we see your face? You are live on the national television here. You can't open your video. Honorable Ntube. He must be having
a
yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yes. Can you see me as well?
Certainly, the whole nation can see you and can hear you.
Oh, no, thanks, Chairperson, and to the Deputy Minister and the members of the Select Committee, Chairperson. I just got a few questions, Chair, and I think the honorable members that have posed questions, they have to a certain extent covered me on what I wanted to ask, Chairperson. But Chair, in the opening remarks of the Deputy Minister, he mentioned that the term of office of the board has expired, but they have since extended the term of office of the board. So I just want to check with the Deputy Minister, Chair, that could it be that some of the problems that the entity is faced with, could it be that the board at the hand there, Chair, because I just don't think that they could be like ESCOM. I just don't think that there could be technical problems and COVID and the decline of revenue. To a certain extent, Chair, it has to speak to what the board does. So I just want to check, Chair, why is it that you have extended the board that have seemingly, in my judgment, failed to deliver on the mandate and the responsibility that the entity has to discharge, Chair. So I just want to check that don't we have a problem of a leadership in the entity? That's the first question, Chair. That why is it that you are extending the term of office of the board that has seemingly decimally failed to discharge their own mission, Chair? That's the first question. The second one, Chair, is that, like I said, that it seemingly they failed because it's recorded that from 2016 to 2022, the financial status of the entity has been declining. I think that also speaks to the board members' chairperson. So I think beyond anything, chairperson, we need to look into who comes into the board and what was their contribution, chairperson. So I think the presentation also mentioned that as part of their remedial action, they had to appoint CFO, CEO, and CIO. What I want to check, and then the presenter said that they've halted those positions because of the financial status of the. That tells you, Chair, that there's not been a stability in the entity. So how do we really expect a entity to run effective if we do not have a proper qualified people to run institution, particularly in the financial sector, the one that was said that they've been declining, Chairperson. So there is no stability in the entity. You have just now extended the term of the board that has seemingly failed, Chair. Why don't you appoint a new board of people that are willing to do the work? With the new strategy, Chairperson, that the entity is saying, I think it's presenting to us, Chair. What is the difficulty of them implementing it? Because from where I'm standing, Chairperson, it's like we are wasting our time on always making excuses, because this is a strategy that it will work. Why is it that they're having it hard to implement the same thing that are saying that they can do? And the lastly, Chairperson, I think you and the minister, you must continuously petition to the treasury so that it can bail you out. What I also don't understand, why is it that ESCOM can be bailed out at any given time, like SAA, but yet you can't be bailed out, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntube, for those questions, quite critical questions that you have raised. Well, I also have just a few. Honorable Deputy Minister, as well as the management of the post office, I would like to have an understanding of the assets that the SA post office has, as well as the value of the property that you have. You may not have that answer now, but I think there is a need to do an evaluation of all the assets that you have, particularly the property. But over and above, I am not sure if you know all the properties that you have in the country, given the historical background. It would be great if you can give us an indication if indeed you do know that you own what, where, in the entire landscape of South Africa. And also, even beyond the borders of South Africa, it may so happen that the apartheid state had some properties which were registered under the post office outside the country. So maybe the critical question that I have to ask, have you ever done an audit of all those assets, particularly property? And secondly, what would be the goodwill of the post office in financial terms? I understand that you must be having a stockpile, for instance, of stamps which date back from time immemorial, as well as stamps that are historical, which were part and parcel of the historical landmarks of the new dispensation, including Madiba stamps. I have no doubt that there should be a value that is attached to those stamps. Are they well protected? Are they well preserved? And have you checked the value of those stamps, as an example? You also spoke about the debt owed to SARS, and you just said it is just under $1 billion. Perhaps it would be helpful to understand that amount, because under $1 billion could mean 800 million, it could also mean 600 million. It would be helpful if you can give us specification. And also linked to that question, you are saying you are negotiating with SARS to try and reduce the current figure. that you owe. Maybe if you can give us some detail, as well as your envisaged expectation of that reduction, maybe it is based on penalties, or what is the basis of the expectation of the reduction thereof. And then the third question is linked to what Honorable Mzube spoke about of the bailout. What is the actual amount that you require for the bailout? And what would be the basis of that amount? And are you only looking from the Treasury in terms of that particular view, given the fact that you are looking at other commercial initiatives going forward, which could attract investment, for instance, from elsewhere, especially if you have a good business case. I wouldn't appreciate it if you would look only at the Treasury and begin to romanticize the Treasury as the only preoccupation of your capitalization that you expect. So those will be my questions, the Honorable DM, as well as the management of the South African Post Office. The last thing that I wish to say, the turnaround strategy that you are putting across, I would like you to give us an indication of your confidence in the very same document that you are proposing to us, which talks to the turnaround strategy. I would like to feel your vibrancy when it comes to this, that you have got absolute confidence that what you are putting on the table is something that you believe in yourself, so that even people out there can have a confidence. Because the confidence starts with you, and then you are here to instill that confidence that indeed you can turn around this entity. And we do want to see it being preserved for obvious reasons, because many of our communities, particularly those that are in the margins of our society, they rely solely on the post office to access many services, more than just postage letters, but access to FASA grants, but access to all other forms of grants. And lastly, I would have loved if you would have touched on the relationship between the post office and the post bank, and what would be your way forward insofar as that is concerned. Because that question is also very critical, because originally the post bank was a subsidiary of the post office. I understand now that it is in transit. It would be therefore very important that as we are in that crossroad, and given the state of affairs and the state of being of the post office, then you give us clarity, as well as the clarity of the mind in terms of where you are in that process. We want to give you now the opportunity to tackle all those five questions, the questions from the five members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to all the honourable members for the comments and the questions. I would request that we get a response from SAPO on some of the questions that requires technical details, and I will come back to wrap up on the questions that requires ourselves to respond to, and some of the specific ones regarding the board. If you allow, Chair, I would ask that the CEO and the team responds to some of the questions. I think they've been listening to them. The CEO, if you can come in, and the team.
Thank you very much, DM, and thank you very much to the Honorable Chair. I just want to just adjust my camera. I'm not sure why it's not open. If you can just give me a minute.
It was open, CEO could see you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So the questions, I will take them from the top, and I will then ask the CFO to come in the end if I have missed out some of the questions. The question around irregular expenditure, and we have taken note of the question, and we would like to explain that the Financial Misconduct Committee called the FMC is looking into those matters, but we want to actually put this into context. Most of the irregular expenditure at SAPO is related directly to the financial troubles of SAPO. And also it is around, I'll give an example as to what I mean by that. So when we were doing the SASA contract, we then had a contract with the security and the CIT companies. And that then came to an end, and we then wanted to expand. But because the process to start a new process of going out in an RFP, et cetera, it was internally allowed to expire, and only then did we need to start the process, so it took a bit long. Now, because we could not stay without security and without the cover and the CIT, then the extension was done. So that is the irregularity of the matter. It's not about money being misused and abused or stolen. It's about processes that we didn't follow our processes, you know, in terms of making sure that we follow the PFMA. Therefore, it will become irregular, but it doesn't mean the person has stolen the money. But all those are explained to pay each line item in the report. The Honorable Arnold also raised the issues around the AG report. The AG report is exactly the same outcome of a disclaimer that we've received for the last three financial years. So what has happened now is nothing new, and I'm quite happy because there was a member who gave a preamble that spoke about how the post office has been in financial decline over a number of years, taking it all the way from, I think the member mentioned 2016, but we could even take it all the way back as to when the actual decline started. But now what we want to highlight is, even though the AG report is a similar or the same outcome, there are improvements between the last financial year and the previous financial year. I will give two examples. So we are still given a disclaimer, but it's on the basis of 13 paragraphs instead of 18 last year, meaning that we managed to deal with the five major issues that the AG has also raised the previous financial year. Secondly, there were what we call category A findings, which means these are the top findings that they say you have transgressed, and therefore we reduced those from 59 the previous year to 38 this year. So even though it doesn't look like it, there has been an improvement in terms of how it is that we are going ahead. And also, issues around even the losses, if you look at the actual business, in the previous financial year, we had a loss of 3 billion. And this past financial year, we showed a loss of 2.1 billion. So even that has come down. And here in the presentation also mentioned that in terms of cost savings, we have saved quite a substantial amount of money in the business. Apologies, committee, my battery is running low. I just need to connect quickly. Apologies.
Okay. I think probably the CFO, the acting CFO, can come in on the financial issues whilst waiting for the CEO.
Thank you, DM, and thank you to honourable members and the chair. Maybe I can just assist with some of the financial questions before CEO comes in. So in terms of the financial questions, there's a question about Medipost. The amount we owe to Medipost at end of September is 609 million rand. This is the historical debt. As end of September, all the monthly contributions to Medipost has been paid. So we once again have a challenge with the historical amount of 609 million. We need to find a solution. Are we able to settle that liability? In terms of the SARS amount, the amount we owe to SARS as end of September amounts to 892 million rand. So what has happened with SARS? From November last year, we have been making the monthly payments in terms of the pay-as-you-earn and the VAT and the UIF and the skills levy. But up to September, the accounts for SARS has been up to date, but But in terms of the 892 million, that's historical debt. And included in 892 million rand is the amount of 120 million rand for the penalties and interest. In terms of the properties, the question about the properties, the balancing amount as of 31st March 2022 amounts to 2.3 billion rand. In terms of the list of properties, we could provide the list of properties that SAPA owns across the country at a later stage, so we can provide that details in terms of the list of properties. Thank you, DM. Thank you, CEO.
Yeah, thank you, Lenny. I think the CEO was back.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Apologies about that. So the point I wanted to also make is around the AHS report and how we have actually made some improvements. They are not where we would have liked them to be, but there are improvements nonetheless. We also focus a lot on cost reduction. And I think it's important to note that I joined SAPO about 18 months ago, and most of the issues that we're dealing with are legacy matters. And we have decided that our approach in this executive team is to deal with matters at source. So we are dealing with matters so that they don't come back. We're dealing with where the problem actually arises. Now, there was a question about the staff verification. We did the first round, which was an internal verification process, and we did find some people who should not have been on the payroll at the time, and those could be termed ghost employees, but there are a number of reasons why that those people should have been. Some have indeed also passed on. So we then managed to save about 8 million during that round per annum in terms of those people that should have been removed from the payroll. Now, what we are doing currently, when GEFT was saying it's ongoing, we are doing a second round, which then includes or involves an external service provider who has to come or see us over the screen with my ID, showing that this is who I am, etc. So that process is underway. We are just over 50% at this point. And we have indicated to the staff members that if people are not verified by a certain date, we would then deem them to be ghosts, and therefore we will not pay them unless and until they come back and give proof of life. So that's the process that we're talking about. In terms of the branches that are closed, most of the branches that have been closed in the past little while have been closed purely because we were evicted by the landlord. We do have a rationalization strategy that talks to the fact that you might go to an area in South Africa and you would find that within a 5-kilometer radius, you could easily have 3 post offices, which was in line with what a standard that was set by CASA some years ago, that we needed to have 8 post offices per X number of community members. But it has really become an unsustainable practice for SAPO, and therefore we then took a decision to say we need to rationalize and maybe take 2 and close those 2 and combine it with 1 within the 5-kilometer radius. Sometimes the radius is slightly longer. But that is the main situation. The situation is really that branches that are closed primarily in the last year and a half, it's really because we have not been able to pay. Yes, we do have our own branches that we have also closed, and we have found that some of them are being vandalized, but we have had some security in those branches, but some of them, there is a strategy now to deal with those branches, whether they are SAPO branches or, rented premises. And we are also looking into where we can go back to our own branches, because that strategy that was followed meant sometimes that the SAPO left their own branches, which are not too far from the mall, but they went inside the mall because they were following the traffic. So there's a number of limitations we're looking into in terms of branches. And yes, in terms of equipment, if you can come in and protect it and also maybe move it to a different branch where it is safe, that is what we are also doing. The one article, I think Honorable Arnold was also referring to it around MDL fraud, and the post office was mentioned as having contributed to that. That article was incorrect. We actually wrote back to the two editors that ran that kind of story, and they have accepted and they've agreed that they will change. Just that I haven't got the latest as to whether they've actually updated it, because we believe that that was part of the decampaigning that is happening on SAFO, and that we were willing to take them to the press ombudsman, because the narrative is incorrect, it's prejudicial to the business of SAFO, and really was not accurate as well. So even the headline was misleading, because if you read the actual article, you could see that there were no relations. So those issues, we are taking them quite seriously, and they are really prejudicial to our business. If you look at the fact that MVL is one of our leading business lines, it's important for us to make sure that we protect that line. As an example, if we license 12.5 million cars per year in South Africa, that is revenue of about $1 billion. And in South Africa currently, there's about just under 48 million vehicles, 47 point something. So if we really just focus on that, that is a good revenue line for SAFO, and we are very prepared to protect it as much as we can. So that article about the fraud was incorrect, it was inaccurate, and it was really far from the truth. We also got a question from Honorable DB, but I think the CFO has taken that question. It was around the financial support, the balance sheet, but I didn't hear him actually refer to the issue about the balance sheet, because the SAFO balance sheet is extremely weak. That's one of the things that I decided to start focusing on having joined last year. Because it's correct that we cannot only focus on government bailing us out all the time. It's important that we are run like a business and we are able to go out on the strength of our assets, which the CFO has mentioned, and be able to get some financing. But so far, the banks have declined on the basis of what, you know, is always reported out there. Of course, the balance sheet itself is weak, but we are working on strengthening it. In terms of the questions from Honorable Mwenya, we have consulted widely on the strategy. You know, even as we were drafting the strategy, we had been talking to all the stakeholders that you had mentioned, and we have consulted widely on that. So everyone as well, most of the stakeholders at SAFO are fully aware of what is in the strategy. We even shared the documents with them, so that they could read and give input, et cetera. So we have consulted quite widely. We are now in the process of taking it down to the lower levels. As you can imagine, we have 14,500 people working for us. It's important that we try to reach as many people as possible, but it is difficult, especially in the light of us not having any funding. In terms of improved customer loyalty, we have very serious problems with customer loyalty. But customer loyalty is really about our performance at this point. It was reported in the presentation that we have had serious problems around the transportation, where we couldn't pay the companies that we had leased the fleet from. And over time, they then decided that they are going to withdraw their fleet. And we then are operating on skeleton fleet, and it's never enough to reach the standards of delivery that we require, as a result of which our customer loyalty is suffering. So those are things that we are definitely dealing with going forward, but these are also dependent on whether we have the funding to ensure that we do have the tools of trade, so to speak. So that is the question around whether there is campaigns and delivery standards, etc. The delivery standards have dropped, particularly the way ICASA measures it. They measure how many did you deliver on time? So then it's important that you deliver on time as well. So because of those challenges we have not been able to. In terms of the successful implementation of the corporate plan, it's extremely difficult for us to be able to deliver successfully on our corporate plan purely because we just don't have the funding. Most of our KPIs are dependent on having the required funding. And there was a question around the Vision 2030. Vision 2030 has since been replaced by the Post Office of Tomorrow strategy. which we are extremely excited about, and I'll talk about it just now in terms of what it is that we can do. With regards to the flood victims, we as the post office did partner with a group of youngsters, a small company that came to us and said, we would also like to help in the floods of KZN. Could we please get the post office to be a point of delivery and collection of the donations? So the donations were in the form of food, clothing, etc. So we set up our branches such that they could have the collections being done there. And after that, we then used our own transport and transportation to send all that stuff to the Durban area. And we also additionally, the DGs of the country, they collectively put money together and they bought a lot of stuff and in terms of supplies to assist. We also assisted them in that regard with transport. We transported all their goods and those were delivered to the right place, which the Department of Health, I think, in KZN had directed us. So we do have videos depicting us delivering the collected goods, both from our offices, but also those that were sponsored by the DGs of the country. I think they were under the leadership of the DG of the presidency and the DG of the DPSA. So in terms of those flood victims, we did indeed also show our care and support, and we did what we could with what we had. Honorable Zube asked around the appointment of executives. This is a very critical issue for SAPO currently, because at the C-suite, meaning at CEO, COO, CFO level, there's only the group CEO, meaning the speaker, who has a contract of employment. Everyone else is in an acting capacity. And this has been going on since before I came through to SAPO. And we also did not have a group executive of HR until the 1st of September. So he's only been with us for 2 months now. We also didn't have a group executive for commercial, the person who's supposed to go out and sell and get business into SAPO. And until also in September, and he was also on a short-term contract, so we'll be reviewing his contract coming up because it's not even full-time. The reason we did not appoint people was purely because how are we going to pay them, with what money, etc. But then we went out very recently, we advertised for a CFO and all these other executives purely because we had a more than legitimate expectation that the government was going to assist us with some kind of financial support. And because of that, we're going to be able to pay these people, because how do you try and turn around the company if you don't have the correct skills around the table? So that is another challenge that we are now finding ourselves. We then had to take a decision yesterday to say, do we go ahead with the appointment, those we haven't quite done yet, or do we then wait? Because otherwise, ethically, we take people to come through to SAPO and then we can't pay them, or we say to them, we have to deduct a certain amount of salary, etc. So we are dealing with the crisis all the time. The next question was around, why are you not implementing a strategy if you believe that it's going to work? Firstly, we believe the strategy is going to be working. We're very excited by the strategy, extremely excited, but it is dependent on funding. You know, the strategy talks to being a logistics leader, you know, in the country, not only in the country, but also on the continent and beyond. Because remember that SAPO is a hub for anyone who comes into Africa. They first come here and we are able to take the goods out to the third countries as well as into Africa. So we are a critical component or critical hub that needs to happen. But the only reason is that every part of the strategy that requires funding, we couldn't do it. But interestingly, we decided to say we are not going to wait for funding to come before we start implementing. So we've done all of our planning, but also anything that we can do without requiring funding, we've been trying, but it's extremely, extremely difficult. The issue around the goodwill of the post office, I actually like the question because I think it's beyond just the stamps and the Madiba stamps, etc. We do have the Madiba stamps. We know how much they are worth. We are going to be using some of them at the upcoming philately conference that's taking place in Cape Town next week. It is an international conference of people who collect stamps, etc. So those also will be showcased there as well. But in terms of goodwill, I think SAPO's goodwill is extremely, I think we underestimated as such, because when the chair was asking the question, I started thinking about the, you know, SAPO's, the property portfolio, SAPO's footprint in the country, SAPO's manner in which we can, we're able to access and get to every part of this country. So our goodwill is really, really quite high, which is why we see the opportunity. You know, everyone talks of this singular narrative of SAPO currently. SAPO is bad, SAPO is not doing well. Yes, those are factually correct if you look at, we call it the, you know, objective reality. So that's what it is. But we see a SAPO of tomorrow as a very exciting future for this country. We see a SAPO that is both going to be a bricks and mortar, you know, service as well as a digitized model. So we're looking more towards a hybrid, if you like. So we want to be able to service you sitting at home. You get your access to your postal services. Or if you want to go to an office, you can be able to find us. We want to be able to also bring the parcel to you. So our thinking is no longer about bringing back the old SAPO. The old SAPO does have to die because it doesn't serve this post COVID economy. We are talking about a SAPO that will be for the country. But also, I mean, we also are looking at a post office that will be a portal for government services. We are even saying we're ready to overseas. Come through, we do have the offices, we do have space, we do have infrastructure. Come through and make sure that your people are able to reach your services, even if they were in a far-flung area. So the SAPO we're talking about is a very exciting SAPO going forward. But of course, the biggest being the e-commerce space. And we are moving towards that. And we are on the verge of actually signing up with a huge international player in this space. And our, you know, discussions are continuing, and we're extremely excited by this because it will be a game changer for SAPO, should it happen. But all these things do require support from government, because remember that these are all historical and these are legacy issues. None of us, including the staff who have to bear the brunt of a SAPO that is currently failing, currently dying, they did not take the decision. This is about the decisions that were taken by leadership who were here before. And when you look at the contract and you realize that this contract is skewed against SAPO, and I'll give an example, I think the practical example, the SRDC-15. We were paying them, but we could not even cover the bank charges for that with whatever we got. We haven't even paid anyone, we haven't done anything, but what we got from that contract, we were not even covering the bank charges. So you can see that even those decisions then are catching up with us, because basically we were paying money that's not even coming back to us. Then in terms of the post bank and the post office, the chair was asking, we view the post bank as a sister of the post office. I think that the post office and the post bank will forever remain, you know, joined at the hip, if you like, because one, we did actually give birth to the post bank, we nurtured it, it grew, and then the decision from government was to separate it from us. Now, the question we are asking, while we are going to work hand in hand with the post bank whenever we can collaborate, but we were not compensated for the separation of the post bank. It left our balance sheet, you know, high and dry. You know, really, really was one of the other factors that have affected us going forward. Now, the question we are asking is, do we not, therefore, deserve, you know, some compensation for that separation? Additionally, when the post bank was separated, it left, there were some reserves in the bank. So it left with the reserves. And we keep asking ourselves and them, whose reserves were those anyway? So we need to also have a conversation around that. Shouldn't we as SAGO have got something out of that? So those are conversations that we keep going back to our shareholder about. In terms of the confidence care about us, our strategy, we really, really are confident. And we believe that, you know, the money that we're looking for, we're not asking for money to kind of help us to run operations. The question was asked, if you got this bailout, what would you do with it? We would do a multiple of initiatives. Firstly, the focus should be, and it would be, on implementing the strategy, because once we start taking money and putting it in those areas, then we give SAGO the chance to live longer, you know, than even ourselves being here. So that is the first. The priority would be on implementing this strategy. The second point is around, yes, we would need to cover some of the costs that are historical. We do owe everybody some money, so it is important that we pay for what we are asking, we, you know, what we owe. But also, we are very strong on, you know, stopping the bleeding. So when we are plugging all the holes currently to say, why do you continue to do this and continue with this service if you do not have money? So we will continue managing the business and the business, because that's how it should actually be. The last point, Chair, I really wanted to talk about is to say, even though the SAGO of today looks as bad as it does, we are extremely confident and quite excited, in fact, when we think about SAGO's future. The opportunities that are there for an organization like SAGO are unmatched. And that's why we are very, I mean, confident. I mean, people ask me, I mean, why, number one, did you take this position? You knew what you were coming to, and I did know. And then they say, why do you stay, even though you see that this is going south? I also, it's because I believe in the future of SAGO. And also, we still believe that our government will not be so blind and so deaf to our cries, that they would not be helping. Because if we are allowed to be where we are today, today we are in a very, very dire state. We managed for the last 18 months or so to actually keep the organization standing. And what we have delivered with what we have is nothing short of a miracle. And now we have reached that point where if we do not get the support that we require, we are going to have to see 14,500 people out on the street, because we are going to not be able to pay salaries, we are going to not be able to pay for all these statutory requirements, including medical aid, etc., etc. We are currently drafting a communication to our staff to alert them to such issues. So we are appealing here, Chair, using your committee to see if government cannot come to our, you know, aid. We know that we were not given any support, but we do not understand why not, number one. But secondly, we're not only asking for a handout. What we are also asking for is government business. Let me explain. By law in South Africa, all parcels less than 1 kilogram should be delivered by SAGO. That is the law. No doubt about it. Now, the private sector is busy fighting us out in court on this matter, purely because for the last 20 years or so, we have not done it. And therefore, there were new entrants who came in and we started eating our lunch. So now there's a fight in court about it. But what we are then saying is, why is government not compelling state-owned companies and government departments to use that? You know, because then you're not even needing to give us a bailout, not now, but I mean in the future, if we get more business, then we won't even need to get a bailout from government. We will work for our money. And therefore, it is important for people to know that if you are in the state, you are in breach, actually, of the law if you do not give it to SAGO. I'm very encouraged by the RTMC. The RTMC has a contract with us in terms of the motor vehicle licensing, etc., and in terms of delivery, etc. They have stated that they know that if they don't give the business to SAGO, they are breaching the law, they are in breach of the law. So they always give us the business, and we would want some of the other business or government business to do the same thing. And perhaps this committee could be part of compelling them to be able to do that, because it is breaking the law. Chair, I really just thought it's important that we mentioned who we are, where we are, but also it is not all doom and gloom. It may be doom and gloom today, but the future of SAPO looks very bright. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, the CEO. I think the CEO and the CFO have dealt with a number of questions. There are a few which I would like to reflect on, Chairperson. Starting with your question about the value of SAPO. And I think you are raising a very important question. And I think the fundamental question which I think should occupy, or we should all pose, is do we really need SAPO? Do we really need to continue to have a South African Post Office in the economy, in the country, playing the role that it is playing? I think for me that is the fundamental question, because if we were to answer that question in the affirmative, and therefore we should be saying that if we do need SAPO, what then is it that we need to do to make sure that SAPO continue to sustain itself, continue to exist as a going concern? I'm not sure, Chair, I see Honorable Ngwenya is on the floor. I don't know whether I should pause now.
Honorable Ngwenya, is that a heritage hand, or it's a mistake because the DM was still answering the question?
Chair, is for follow-up question. When you are done, the network is not clear here. But when comes time for follow-up question, I've okay. got one follow-up question. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ngwenya. DM, you can proceed.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, so Chair, I was talking about the question whether we need SAPO to continue as a going concern. And I was saying that if we were to answer that question in the affirmative, to say that the nation do need SAPO, the economy do need the South African Post Office, we should be, all of us, making sure that we capacitate the organization. I know that I am part of the executive and I represent the executive here. I should be coming up with the answers about the funding of SAPO. But I'm afraid that I do not have those answers now, because we do submit to Treasury, and our submission competes with the other priorities of government. And at the end of the day, if the entirety of government decides not to put SAPO as a priority, it is a decision. But I believe that SAPO should be funded from the fiscus. SAPO has got an extensive network that serves particularly those who are in the far-flung areas, those from the disadvantaged, correctly pointed out, Chairperson, that those who are in the margins of society are the ones who have been serviced by the almost 2,000 branches that exist throughout the country. And so we need to continue to provide that service. And when the gentleman from SAPO was presenting, was saying that we have got an obligation arising from the legislation. to provide postal services to areas where we are not even, or the post office is not even deriving any income. So by law, we've got this that we call the universal service obligations, that we need to service this extensive branches that we have to provide this postal service. And so if this were to collapse, what implications is that going to have for service delivery in the vulnerable communities of our country? So I think we should all participate in this conversation, in this debate. Yourself, honorable members, as legislators, because at the end of the day, you also are responsible for the approval of the budget. And so these are the questions that we collectively need to pose. Whether are we funding the priorities that we should be funding, all of us as a country? And what is it that we're doing to fund the post office? You did ask a question, whether we're looking at only the fiscals or we're looking at other commercial arrangements. The reality of the situation, Chair, is that the South African Post Office, it is a public body. It is a creation of statute. It's a government entity. And most of the services that it provides are services that it is obligated by legislation to provide those services. So if there is a need for any bailout, that bailout should necessarily come from the state. So we are looking at that, because if we were to look at any commercial arrangement, the balance sheet will not require that. There is no commercial fund that will fund the post office because of its balance sheet. As you can see, technically speaking, it is insolvent. It is insolvent because the liabilities exceed the assets. But we believe that because it is a government entity and government is not insolvent itself, there is an opportunity for government to recapitalize the post office. So yes, we are looking at the fiscals. Yes, we think there is an obligation from the income that derives from the taxes of South Africans, that we should utilize this to reinvest in this important entity that services their needs. So we are looking at the fiscals. We have made a submission. Unfortunately, it was not accepted. We are still optimistic and looking forward to the main budget that will be tabled around February next year, that maybe on that allocation, the post office will receive something. But as the CEO is saying, we're not sure whether we'll hold on until that period. And that is the anxiety that we are having. And that is the reality that they were faced with, Chairperson. You did speak about the goodwill of SAPO. You spoke about the STEMS Chair. The CEO did say that indeed the post office is a collective repository of all the historic materials, philatelic materials, the stamps and so forth. We've got very exciting of them in the post office. They will be displayed next week. We do have, we're hosting an international conference. It's a philatelic exhibition, international philately exhibitions, where the stamp collectors from throughout the world will be descending on our shores here in Cape Town. They will be showcasing the various stamps. It's going to be starting from the 8th up to Saturday the 12th. The theme of this exhibition is the road to democracy. The road to democracy because we want to exhibit the various contributions that has been made throughout. There are countries who have issued stamps in support of the liberation movement, in support of the struggle for democracy in South Africa. We want to showcase their contributions as well. Stamps were issued in Tanzania in support of the release of those of our leaders who were incarcerated in Robben Island. There were stamps which were released by many other countries that will be showcased. There are important historic materials. There is a letter in particular that was written by the former president, the late Nelson Mandela, to the Mr. Matanzim, I think he was the chief of Transkei, chief the prime minister or so of Transkei, who was offering to welcome former President Mandela to offer him sanctuary so that he doesn't have to go to South Africa. So he's responding. There is an authentic letter that was saved by one of the collectors, which is going to be in exhibition. And in the letter, former President Mandela, you know, politely declines that invitation. And he says that our struggle was against the rejection of the Bantustand regime. Why would I accept to be released to a Bantustand and not claim South Africa as belonging to it? So that letter is there. I'm just paraphrasing. It's not the exact words, but it's something to that effect. So it is a very exciting conference that we'll be hosting, Chair, and would invite the members if they're available to join us. And that's part of the heritage of this country that the post office is responsible for. There is a question from Honorable Ntsube on the board of SCBC, of SAPO. Do I say SCBC? On the extension of the term of office of the board to next day in January. And so Honorable Ntsube is asking the question whether is the board not the guilty party, is the board not responsible for the difficulties that I experienced in SAPO? Why extend to the board and not appoint a new board? So let me answer that question in twofold. Firstly, on the question whether the board is responsible for the problems. When we came in last year, in February, we were invited to the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, SCOPA, of the National Assembly. We're invited with the board. We had an engagement, and at the end of the engagement, the SCOPA posed this question, whether is the board of SAPO fit for purpose? And when the question was supposed to be responded to, I think the acting chair was saying, look, that is the question that I'm not able to respond to. So because it requires a much more serious examination. And so we had to engage with the board. I had a one-on-one with all the board members last year trying to respond to that question, whether the board was fit for purpose in driving the organization, in implementing the vision that has just been articulated in the post office of tomorrow strategy. So we had a one-on-one, and at the end of that, we were supposed to engage, have a follow-up engagement. A number of board members then resigned. I think we had about 3 resignations, if not 4. And so we thought that we needed to hold on that process of finalizing that evaluation. And let's rather focus on appointing a new board. And so I'm not going to share the outcome of that evaluation now, because it's going to be unfair to those board members, because we're supposed to give them directly the feedback. And so our preoccupation has always been to get a new board. Now, we were confronted with a situation where the term of office of the current board is coming to an end, and we were not yet ready to appoint a new board because the adverts were out, were busy trying to fill those vacancies and appoint a new board. So we thought that we needed to extend by this short period and to finalize the appointment of the new board. So we are in the process of appointing a new board. But I must say, Chairperson and honorable members, those of the members of the board who remain have really exhibited a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of determination, a lot of energy to contribute towards saving this organization. I've been working closely with the acting chairperson of the board, Mr. Sipho Majombozi, who's really very committed in working with us to save the post office and in putting some of the initiatives that the CEO was talking about, that they are on the verge of signing a very good agreement with one of the international players. And so he has been very central to that process. I think the CEO did speak about the sub of tomorrow. There is a lot of passion, Chair. We really believe in the new strategy. We really believe that if this strategy can be funded, it will definitely turn around the post office. There are a lot of very exciting initiatives there of having SAPO as a logistics company and working with other e-commerce players to supply services and so forth. So there's very, very exciting stuff in there, which I think the CEO has really spoken to. But Chair, I think what we could leave this portfolio select committee with is the fact that the future of this post office is dependent on whether it receives funding. I think that's the bottom line. Whether we do get the necessary funding to implement some of the initiatives, but also to keep the post office as a going concern. It would be very sad to have this collapse in our hands. Although these problems are historic, they've been accumulating, but they are basically going to explode in our time. And if that happens, I think it will be a very sad day for this entity and the role that it has been playing in the country and in the economy. But otherwise, the other issues, Chair, have been attended. Maybe just to say on the issue of the appointments of senior, I must say that when we came in, there was a moratorium that was placed by the former leadership of the department. And so we have been working with them on the strategy, and as soon as the strategy was then developed and that moratorium was uplifted, I think it was just on all the entities in the department because there was a bit of a process of restructuring, the rationalization of state-owned entities that was taking place throughout the entirety of government, and that time there was a need for moratorium. It was not only in SAPO, it was in many other entities of the department. But otherwise, Chair, I would like to thank you very much for putting us to interact with you on these issues. Over to you.
No, thank you, DM, for going to town to try to answer all our questions. I think in the main, we are covered. There may be just one or two areas which members could not have had satisfaction. And I just want to give that opportunity to the only hand we have of the Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Ngwenya, we want to give you a second bite.
Yes, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, Mama.
Okay, thanks very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of my follow-up question, Honorable Chair, I did not hear the response proper from the CEO of the SAPO due to the challenge of the network connectivity. But I've got one follow-up question, Chair. I want to check what is going to happen to SAPO financial situation in light of the recent MTP PS statement from Minister of Finance, which was presented in Parliament on the 26th October 2022. What are plans of SAPO following the recent MTP PS statement? Thanks very much, Chair. Nyabule.
Chairperson, it's Nzube here. May I kindly have a bite, Chair?
Okay.
My apologies, Chair. It's not even questions, Chair.
It's a follow-up question.
Chairperson?
It's a follow-up question.
Yes, Chair. It's just a input, Chair, that the response of a Deputy Minister, Chair, signals that there were four members of the board that resigned. And that, Chair, on its own tells you that it signals a red flag on the board. You can't have four members of the board resigning, and then you keep on the board, Chair. And lastly, Chairperson, the Deputy Minister says that they had, after resignations of four board members, they had one-on-one session with the remaining board members just to check.
It was before.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the correction, Chair. Just to check.
Those resignations came as a result of those interactions.
Yes, Chair. Just to check the fitness of for the office. So all I can say, Chair, is that any institution, anything, Chair, the only criteria you use for you to see success or failure is based on its results, Chairperson. It's not based on how you engage with anybody, but it's based on results. And on this case, Chairperson, you and I sitting here in this meeting, we can see nothing else but a dying SOE. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Those were only my two submissions, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nzube. Perhaps DM, just also to check something. which you might have considered or not considered. Given the fact that you have outlined your stated premise and your desired outcome, am I correct to say that you might have stated your premise and where you want to go insofar as when you do get that financial injection from the national fiscus? Do you have perhaps an unstated destiny should the best case scenario doesn't work? What would then be your worst case scenario? What would happen, this disastrous end, which you say it would occur in the case that you wouldn't get that financial injection? What would actually happen to the South African Post Office? Do you have a backup plan for that? Because even if the end becomes disastrous, there should be a thinking process that says that should this one doesn't go right, this is what we have in place as an alternative, which is a worst case scenario. Maybe to be clear, but I hope you do hear me clearly, because I do know that you are a very organic cadre, advanced cadre of the movement. You know how the situation ended with South African Airways. There has been a big uproar in the country as to what actually then happened in the final analysis in the life of this national carrier. Now, we're sitting with this national instrument, which is very key in the social fabric of our society. We wouldn't want a situation wherein the citizenry and the population of this country is not given an opportunity to play a key role in saving a post office that the only option that gets looked at is that of the private sector. I mean, in a post-colonial South Africa, the citizens must be given an opportunity. And we have not really tested that actually the citizens of this country have capacity to make an intervention collectively if they were to be called upon and if they were to be given an opportunity to do so. So I'm saying that have you really looked and applied your mind in so far as a consequence that would be defined as a worst case scenario in this instance? Let me give you that opportunity, DM, together with your team to deal with these follow-up questions.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I think let me start with your question, and then I'll go to Honorable Ntsube's question, and then lastly, Honorable Ngwenya. Maybe let me just say, we were really hoping. We were really convinced that in the department, we were really convinced that the National Treasury was going to come through this time around, because we have had a lot of engagements with them, with the leadership, including the minister. We have had engagements, discussions about SAPO. So we were convinced that this required intervention was going to come. And so we did not really even explore the what if question that we are asking now. But now that we were really disappointed, so that is one of the issues that we will have to be seized with, Jefferson. There was a proposal that was coming from the board, but however, that proposal was not really entertained given the fact that we were all hoping that the medium-term budget policy statement was going to assist. So you are right. We have to go back and do this scenario planning. That whether will the post office be sustainable between now and next year, when the next budget allocation is going to come. Of course, we'll have to engage with the, as we have heard from the CEO, said that they were really, it was really by the grace of God that they managed to have the entity survive up until now. And so this is when we thought that they were going to be assisted. But you're right, we will have to go back to see what else can be done. We do not want, look, there are vultures out there who are just in the background waiting to pounce when the South African Post Office goes under. We know them ourselves, and I'm sure you may also know them, that they want a situation where the post office will collapse and they will take whatever is remaining out of this entity. We do not want that. We would want to look at the various scenarios, the various options, or whether those options do exist. So it's something that it remains our homework, Chairperson, will go back and we will look at it. I must say that we have not done that given the fact that the budget, as you know, was tabled, the adjustment budget was tabled last week. On the second question, I hope that satisfy you, Chair. I have not been able to say this is plan B, because we do not have a plan B. We'll have to go back and work around that. I think it will be incorrect and it will be unfair to make a conclusion that the reason why the post office is where it is because of the board members. I think it will be an incorrect conclusion to reach. As you can see from the financials and from the presentation, I think it will show that this decline is a combination of a number of factors, and it has been coming through. They are showing the graph from 2015, you can take it even back, that there has been a number of factors that have contributed towards the decline in revenue, towards the decline in the market positioning of SAPO, and the fact that at some particular period, the organization was not able to turn itself around, to adjust and to look at the new market trends,